Okay, today's daf is Menachos daf Lamed Zayin. We are holding on daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis. We are a couple of lines before the end of the page, and Lamed Vav three lines before the end of the page. Tana Rabbanan Yarchazu Smol is what we're up to. And today's daf is going to finish our discussion about tefillin, and we're actually at the end of the daf going to transition into the discussion of tzitzis. So the first thing we're going to discuss is about lefties and wearing tefillin, why it is that lefties wear tefillin on the other arm, what do you do if a person is ambidextrous. Then the Gemara is going to discuss about a person who has two heads, which head does he put on tefillin, does he put on tefillin on both heads, and what about Pidyon HaBen for someone that has two heads. Gemara says he almost threw someone out of the Beis Medrash for asking such a kasha, but nevertheless we discuss it so it's an interesting discussion. Then on Amud Beis we're going to have three different ways that we know that tefillin goes on the top of the arm as opposed to anywhere else. The yad, the chora, could have been defined as any part of the arm, and two different ways that we know that tefillin go on the top of the head as opposed to any other part of the head. And then we're going to have three nafkaminas whether tzitzis, when we transition into the discussion of tzitzis, we're going to have three nafkaminas whether tzitzis are viewed as a single mitzvah or as four separate mitzvahs. So three potential nafkaminas in that discussion, and how we're also going to discuss how when a person folds a talis, or even if you hem a garment, it doesn't change the location of the corners of the garment as far as the mitzvah of tzitzis are concerned. And at the end of the perek, which we'll try to finish today, at the end of the perek, we're going to talk about how since we paskin like the Tanakama that all four tzitzis are one mitzvah, if one of the corners gets cut off on Shabbos in a Rosh Hashanah, you have to remove the beged. And in a Carmelis, you can keep it on, but in a Rosh Hashanah, you have to remove the beged because then it will be unnecessary carrying of the other strings because you're not getting the one mitzvah of tzitzis. So let's begin. We are again at on Lamed Vav Amud Beis at the end of the page, three lines from the end of the page. Tana Rabbanan. So the Braisa Darshan as follows. What hand do you put tefillin on? Yadcha. The Pasuk says, Vayilcha la'os al yadcha. Zo small. That's a reference to the left hand. Ata omer smol. How do I know it's the left hand? Maybe it's the right hand. Tamal omer. That's why we have another Pasuk in Yishayo that says, Af yodi yosta aretz v'yemini tivcha shamayim. That the Pasuk says that there's yadi and then there's yemini. So yadi is whatever is not yemini. So that must be the left hand. V'omer, and there's a pasuk in Shoftim in Shiras Tevara that tells us yada la yaseh de tishlachna v'yemina la halmus amelim. So again, yad as opposed to yamin. So yamin is not the stam yad. The stam yad is left. Whenever we say yad, it means left. V'omer, and the pasuk in Tehillim lama sashiv yadcha v'yeminecha mikarev chekecha chalei. So again, the contrast between yad and yamin. I forgot to mention the dual sponsorship of today's daf. Today's daf is sponsored anonymously for the Mespalim of BKNW and all of Klal Yisrael, and is also sponsored by Henry Olinsky, Lizekh Nishmas Yechiel, Michal Ben Chaim Schneer, Zalman Halevi, Zichron Levracha, Milton Kramer. We thank the sponsors again very much. So again, back in the discussion now. So we just showed one way that we know that the yad that we put tefillin on is dafka, the left hand, based on the fact that we have three separate pesukim that indicate that there's a difference between yamin on the one hand and yad on the other hand. So yad is left. So Rabbi Yossi Achorim Omer, Rabbi Yossi Achorim says matzinu yamin shenikra yad. No, we find that the yamin is also called yad. Shenemar Vayar Yosef ki yashis aviv yad yamino. So you see that it refers to the yad yamino. So you see yamin is also called yad. Who is Rabbi Yossi Achorim? So Rabbi Yossi Achorim Rashi says he was called this way because chotmo meshuka ben enav. His nose was sunken in between his eyes, and it's a lashon of the pasuk of ocharum. It's a type of a psul of a mum that passes a person from. Avodas kuhuna is a charum, so that's why they called him hachorim, because he had this physical deformity that would have passed him lekuhuna. That's why they called him that. Tosas says that's a dover tamua. If you look at the top Tosas, pirush mekuntros chotma yeshikua ken charum de becharos v'tema hulomar shekino b'lashon kenai, that they would to be mechanin, to give him a nickname, b'lashem gnai. It's you're not supposed to give nicknames about anything, but to give a nickname, b'lashem gnai, where they're gonna make fun of him every time they quote him, can't be. So it'd be very, very strange to do that. Rather, he says hachori must be the al shem makom, must be where he comes from. He must come from a city called Chorim, so they called him Rabbi Yossi Achorim. It can't be that they would identify him by a physical deformity. But anyway, the idach, the Tanakamu, who says that stam yad always means the left hand, what's he going to do with the pasuk of Rabbi Yossi Achorim, where we see the pasuk says yad yamin? So the Tanakamu would say, yeah, yad yamino ikri, yad stama lo ikri. The yad yamin is called yad yamin. It's just never called yad. It's never called Yad Stam. Yad Stam is always the left hand. So that is one opinion, how we know that a person puts tefillin on his left hand, because the word Yad means the left hand. Rabbi Nosson Omer, Eino Tzarech. No, you don't need the makor of the Tanakama with all these psukim that the word Yad means left hand. Harei Omer, it's a different drasha. Pasuk says, Ukshartam Uchsaftam, that there's a hekish that we have between the tying of the tefillin and the writing of the tefillin. Mak Siva Biyam Min, af kshira be a min. Just like the ksiva is with your right hand, the kshira should be done with your right hand. V'kivan the kshira be a min, and if you're doing the kshira with your right hand, hanacha b'smali, obviously it means that the tefillin being placed on the left hand. So it's a shift of the point of emphasis. The first shita was emphasizing what's the yad that we speak of that you put tefillin on. The second one is it's not about the hand that you put tefillin on, it's about the hand with which you are putting the tefillin on. It's the hand that's doing the maisa, not upon which the maisa is doing on. And the hand that's doing the maisa has to be the strong hand, has to be the hand that a person writes with. So if you look at Tosfos, Maksiva b'yamin, afkshira b'yamin, Tosfos b'samach amrinan di'itar meniach tefillin b'yaminu shu smolo. That's pretty soon where the Gemara is going to say that a lefty puts on tefillin on his right hand, which is the left of... meaning the lefty puts on tefillin on his weaker hand. V'hashta adam akosev biyamino. So says Tosos. So what do you do if you have a person who writes with his right hand? V'sharov masov b'smolo, but he does everything else with his left hand. Yesh l'stapik be'ezem and meniach tefillin. Says I'm not sure which arm should he put tefillin on. It would be a great topic for a bar mitzvah drasha. So v'shama yesh l'dmoso k'sholit b'shtei yadav. So Tosos says, who knows? Maybe he has a din of an ambidextrous person who's sholeit b'shtei yadav, who's in the halach is an ambidextrous person, puts on his left hand. So that's what Tosos deals with. So anyway, so Rabbi Nosson has this drasha ukshatem uksaftem that the kshira should be with the same hand that you do ksiva with. Rabbi Yossi Achorim hanachad b'smol minale, and Rabbi Yossi Achorim who says that both the right hand and the left hand could both be called yad because they're psukim that support both hands being referred to as yad. How does he know that the tefillin is placed on the left hand? He learns it from the same place that Rabbi Nosson learns it from, meaning he holds on the drasha of ukshartem uksaftem, that the kshira has to be done with the right hand. Ravashi Amar Ravashi says that the limud of Rabbi Yossi is mi yad chaksiv behei, that yad keha, that we darshan the fact that the word yadcha is written with an extra hey at the end, so it's like a nutrikun of yad keha to tell you to put your hand, your tefillin on the weaker of the two hands. So it seems that the emphasis of ukshartem uksaftem is about which hand you write with, as opposed to which hand you do anything else with. It seems that writing has plays a critical role. And then Ravashi's drush is not about writing. Whichever hand requires more strength. So that's what some of the poskim distinguish between fine motor skills, like writing, versus power, you know, like throwing a ball or something like that. You know, something that would require more strength. That seems to be Ravashi's approach. So, again, we've discussed the different shitos as to what to do if a person writes with one hand and does everything else with his other hand. Or Salvechik was of the opinion, take the majority of these three opinions, whatever the majority. So if you write with your left hand and you do everything else with your right hand, so according to the shita that yadcha always means the left hand, you put on your left hand. According to the opinion that yad keha, that your weaker hand, your left hand is still your weaker hand. It's only ukshartem uksaftem that would tell you to put it on your right hand, so you would put on your left hand. Others say differently. I mean, Beferish in the Ramah. The Ramah says that we go with the Ksiva, 100%, and therefore you'd have to put on the right arm. The Gra says not that way, that he would put on the left arm. So the different shittos and poskim, many people deal with it. After my son gave me the drash about this, a bunch of people came over to me. Oh, I have this situation. My son has a situation. My cousin has a situation. And everyone had a different thing. One guy told me he had the same as my son, where he writes with his left and he does everything else with his right, but he's been putting on his right arm the whole time, not like my son was putting on his left arm. Someone else told me that he's what Tosus discussed, someone who writes with his right hand, and he said that he switches his tefillin after davening every day to his other arm. Yeah, there are many, many shittos out there what to do. Rabbi Sachs told me that he has a son who, like my son, writes with his left hand and everything else with his right hand. And he told him to train himself to write with his other hand. So there's no shortcuts in the Sachs family. So he had to he learned how to write. So he's ambidextrous now. Now that he's ambidextrous, so then it's a clear Gemara. We're going to see that an ambidextrous person puts on his left hand. Okay. So I'm going to Rabbi Abba the Ravashi. So Rabbi Abba said to Ravashi, why do you darshan the word yodcha as yad keya? Ve'ima yodcha shabakoach. Maybe it should be darshaned as yad koach, not yad keya. So I'm going to, which would be the opposite. You put on your stronger hand. So I'm like, miksiv b'ches. Well, it's a hey. It's not a ches. If it was a ches, then it would be yad koach. But because it's a hey, it's yad keha. What was the havamina? So the havamina is clearly that hey and ches are interchangeable. But still, as much as ches is like a hey is more like a hey than ches is like a hey. So even though they're somewhat interchangeable, yad keha is the better drasha. So says Mar Kitanai, this idea that yadcha, we can learn the din of anachas filling on the left hand, is really a machlokas tanaim. Some do not learn yadcha to teach us this din. Yadcha behei zusmal. One sheet in tanaim is yes. Yadcha is spelled with the hey to teach me yad keya, the left hand. Acherim omrim yadcha lerabos esagidem. The yadcha is coming to tell me that even someone who's an amputee and he only has a weak hand, he's chayiv to put tefillin on that hand. Meaning you might think that whatever hand is left is automatically considered the strong hand, and mimela he doesn't have anywhere to put tefillin on. So that's what it tells me. You know, he still puts on tefillin as long as he has a hand with which to put on tefillin. Meaning all these drushas are about when you have a choice to make. So you have to decide which one. But when there's no choice to make, so then obviously yadcha is whatever your yad is. If you have only one yad, so that obviously is a fulfillment of yadcha. Tanya idach, ein lo zroa patur min tefillin. But there's another brayso that says, no, if a person is missing his left arm, he's patur from tefillin. The zroa is the upper part of the arm, between the shoulder and the elbow, because that's the makom of a nachas tefillin. So if a person is missing just the lower part of the arm, they could still put tefillin on the upper part of the arm. But if they're missing even the upper part of the arm, someone's in the zroa is patur min tefillin. Acherim omrim yadcha l'rabos esagidem, but others say no, yadcha l'rabos esagidem. Tosos explains that there's not really machlokas tanam over here. The Tanakam is talking about someone who doesn't have a left hand at all, and it's coming to tell me that he does not put on tefillin on his right hand. The Acherim are talking about someone whose arm is cut off on the bottom of the arm, and since he has a left, he still has a makom enoch tefillin on his left hand, he still has to put tefillin on that left hand. That's how Tosos understands. That no one's going to say that if you have only one arm and the other arm is entirely missing, that you put on tefillin. Everyone would say, the way Tosos understands, that you would not put on tefillin in that situation. Shittim Kvetzes quotes from Yerushalmi that it seems that there is a machlokas over there, because the Yerushalmi over there says, Yodcha l'rabos es hagidem shemaniach b'yamino. So it sounds like that even Acherim, we're talking about someone whose entire arm was missing, and nevertheless he puts on the tefillin b'yamino. And the svar is, like we said before, that all these drashas are only when there's a choice to be made. But when there's no choice to be made, so then the fulfillment of Tratum El Sayyadacha is to put on whatever yad a person has. Okay, now the Gemara is going to bring two brises that talk about tefillin for a lefty. Tan Rabbanan, Iter meniach tefillin b'yamino shu smalo. A lefty puts on tefillin on his right hand, which is his weaker hand. It's yamin kaladam, but it's his weaker hand. Vatanya, the Gemara asks, but we have another brisa that tells us meniach b'smolo shu smolo shel kaladam, that he puts on his left hand, which is everybody's left. So Rabbi, Kitanya hi b'shal b'shtei yadav. No, that's talking about an ambidextrous person. An ambidextrous person would put on his left hand, but someone who's a mamish a lefty would put on his right hand. Says Gemara, Tanu de Menasha al yad chazu kiboris. Where on the arm do you put tefillin? Says al yadcha. So we dash, and that's the kiboris, the fleshy part of the arm. Bein einecha zu kadkod. That's the height of the head. Heicha. What part of the kadkod? What part of the skull do you put tefillin on? Amri de Rabbi Yana, makom shemochu sheltinok rofes. The place where a baby's head is soft. That's the makom of the hanachas tefillin. It's a little bit higher up than where the hairline starts. And Tosos writes that even from where the hairline starts, right above the forehead, until makom sheltinok rofes, that's the meaning. There's a range. It's not like a specific spot, because tefillin are somewhat large, so there's got to be a space where you can put tefillin. So Tosos says, from the hairline until makom sheltinok rofes. So that's how Tosos understands and the Gemara says, and it's a pretty large area, because the Gemara says in Erev and Daf Tzadi Hei, makom yesh barosh leniach bo shtei tefillin, that there's enough space on the head to put two tefillins. Machlokas Rishonim, what does it mean? Does it mean side by side or front and back? But many understand that it means front and back, so it must be some sizable location that's kosher to put on tefillin shel rosh. Some people who put on tefillin Rabbeinu Tam and tefillin Rashi put it on simultaneously, not one after the other. Because after all, makom yesh brosh, so whichever one is correct, that's the one that they're having kavana to be yotze with. Okay, says Gemara, boy mine plimo me Rebbe. Plimo asked Rebbe the following question: Mishi yesh al shnei roshim beizin maniach tefillin. If someone has two heads, which head does he put tefillin on? Meaning, we've been discussing someone who has two arms, which is a pretty typical thing, a less typical thing. Someone who has two heads, the pasuk says you're supposed to put tefillin bein einecha. So Amalei, so he says, you know, you're just making a mockery of the whole discussion. O kum galei, either go to galus as punishment for making a late sonnus here, o kabal leich shamta, or you have to accept upon yourself a nidui, you have to accept upon yourself a shamta for a cherim of sorts for asking such questions. So adahachi asahu gavra, while they were having this conversation, a guy comes, Amalei is yelled the yanuka, this like Trey Rashi. He says, you're not going to believe what just happened. My wife just gave birth to a baby, or two babies, I'm not really sure. Two heads. Baby came out with two heads. So, kama bi'in on the mesav, l'kohen. So he had a shayla. Now what do I do about pidyon haben? Do I have to give, how much money do I have to give to the kohen for pidyon haben? The pashtus of the sugya is, once that happened, Plemo was out of trouble, right? Meaning he got in trouble and he was put in chayrim, because how can you ask such a ridiculous question? You're saying something crazy, and then this question came up, so he was out of trouble. The Gemara is going to say that it's a davar pashut, that this tinok is a trefa and he's not going to be able to live for 12 months, so it's never going to come to a mitzvah tefillin. So there's still, meaning Plemo l'chora should still be in trouble, because if he wanted to ask a shayla, maybe he could have asked about pidyon haben, because the baby might make it to 30 days, but the baby's not making it to 12 months. The baby's a trefa, so he's certainly not making it to bar mitzvah when you put on tefillin. And even though you're allowed to put on tefillin before bar mitzvah, the Gemara says that katan mishiyodeh lishmar tefilav is chayiv in tefillin. When he already knows how to guard his tefillin, when he already knows how to protect his tefillin, he's already chayiv in tefillin. Yeah, but a 1-year-old is definitely not. I mean, it could be pretty young that he's if he's a responsible child, but a 1-year-old for sure not. Rabbi Eliyahu told me that I came yesterday for the Kiddush. Rabbi Eliyahu told me that he wrote the Shaila to Rav Vadya when he was 11 years old. He wanted to put on tefillin. So he wrote the Shaila to Rav Vadya, asking Rav Vadya if he's allowed to put on tefillin. He said, I'll protect them, I'll take good care of them. Am I allowed to put on tefillin? So Rav Vadya, there's a tshuva in Yabiyo Omer to Rav Eliyahu about Katan putting on tefillin. It says in the Gemara, Katan Yodea Lishmar Tefillin. Rav Shechta told me that he put on tefillin when he was 11. His father thought that he was ready to handle it, so he gave him tefillin. Not the usual thing. The usual practice is 30 days in advance, but that's not what it says in the the Gemara, and it's not what it says in Shulchan Aruch. The Rama writes that a person, a bar mitzvah boy, should put on tefillin on his bar mitzvah, not a day before. So it's an interesting question. I discussed in the first chelik of my sefer, an interesting question of why it is that the minhag developed that we have tefillin, that we put on tefillin on bar mitzvah boy 30 days before. But it's lav dafka 30 days. I've been getting the question a lot lately. My family's going to Eretz Yisrael and we want to do a nachas tefillin by the kotel, but it's 42 days before my kids bar mitzvah. Okay, so fine. So put it on 42 days before. You know, it's lav dafka. It doesn't have to be dafka 30 days. It's the idea probably is just to get him used to it, that by the time he becomes bar mitzvah, he should be accustomed enough that he shouldn't have too much trouble navigating, you know, how to put on the tefillin. Okay, so anyway, so says the Gemara, so what do you do about the Pidyon HaBen for this two-headed baby? Asu Saba Tanilei, so a certain Zaken came and taught that a person is Poda Bechar that has two Roshim, Chayiv Litin Lo Asara Slayim, he's got to give to the Kohen 10 Slayim. So the Gemara says, Eini Vatani Rami Bar Chama Mitok Shenemar Pados Hifteas Bechar Adam Shomeani Afilu Nitraf. I would think that even if the Bechar is Nitraf Bitok Shloshim and he's killed within 30 days, the father's chayiv to be pulled him. Tamalomra, that's what the Pasuk says. Ach, that says Ach, but also if there's Bechor Adam, from the fact that it says Ach, so Chalak, the Pasuk is being Mechalik the Din between a Bechor that's Nerag between Shloshim Yom and other Bechoros that he's Potter from Pidyon HaBen. So it's Kasha on a Hu Sabbath that says that you pay 10 Sloim for this child that's born with two heads, say he's not going to be able to stay alive, so he should be Potter from Pidyon HaBen. Says Marno, Shaini Achat Bilgol is Tal Rachmana. The Din of a Tinok with two heads is different because there's a svara that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is tolerated on the Gulgolas. It says, V'lakach t'chamesh chamesh shkom la Gulgolas, tell me that even a Bechor Echad, if he has two Gulgolas, he's chayiv in 10 Slaim. Even if he's a trefa. So the comparison the Gemara made to a trefa, between a trefa and someone who's killed within 30 days, that's not correct. Only someone who dies within 30 days is part of the Pidyon HaBen. The gedder of a trefa is not 30 days. The gedder of a trefa, someone's not going to survive a year. So the baby who can survive more than 30 days, but less than a year, there will be a chiv of Pidyon HaBen, and the chiv is based on Gulgolas. It's based on how many skulls, and if he's got two heads, he's got two skulls, and therefore it's two chivim in Pidyon HaBen. Says Gemara Vayter now. Amar Mar, we had mentioned before in the Braisa, Yadcha Zuki Boris, that the Yadcha is like the fleshy part of the arm, the upper part of the arm. Min Nalan, how do I know that? So the Tanur Rabban, we have a Braisa, tells us as follows. Al Yadcha, the Pasuk tells us in the Torah, they should put the tefillin Al Yadcha, Zu Gova Shabiyad. That's the height of the arm. Ata Omer Zu Gova Shabiyad, Oenoela Al Yadcha Mamish. Is that talking about the height of the arm? Or maybe it's on the Yadcha Mamish, on the palm, you know, on the what we call the hand, not the arm. So Amr Torah, Hanach Tefillin Biyad, Vanach Tefillin Barosh. No, because there's a link between the Tefillin Shal Yad and the Tefillin Shal Rosh. Mala Halam Begovish Barosh, Afkan Begovish Biyad. Just like the Makom of the Tefillin Shal Rosh is on the height of the head, so too the Makom of the Tefillin Shal Yad is on the height of the arm. Reb Lazar Omer Einu Tzarech. You don't need to tell me that I know the Makom of the Mitzvah of Tefillin Shal Yad from the Makom of the Mitzvah of Tefillin Shal Rosh, because Harei Omer, the Pasuk says, V'hai Lecha La'os. So you see, the Torah is being makpid that it should be in place where it's Lecha La'os V'lo La'cherim La'os, where it should be that only you recognize that it's there and other people don't see it. That the Tefillin Shal Yad, in contrast to the Tefillin Shal Rosh, actually not like the Tefillin Shal Rosh, are supposed to be something that's much more private. We cover the Tefillin Shal Yad, only we know that it's even there. The Tefillin Shal Rosh, V'ro Kalame Arts, Kishem Hashem Nikra Alecha, Tefillin Shal Rosh, everyone's going to see, everyone's going to recognize that the Tefillin Shal Rosh are there. So it's interesting. One of the limudim of where to put the Tefillin Shal Yad is based on how similar it is to Tefillin Shal Rosh, that they're both on the height of the of their given locations, and the other is how different it is from the Tefillin Shal Rosh. The Tefillin Shal Rosh is this public thing. Tefillin Shal Yad is much more private. Rabbi Yitzchak Omerenu Tzarech, Harei Omer of Samtim is Tevarai Ela Al Levavchem Ukshatem Shetei that the sima should be across from the heart, which is obviously very high up on the arm, in order for it to be keneged alev. That's what the Meiri says. Maybe this din of keneged alev is not only about the height on the arm that you put the tefillin, but maybe it's also about which arm to put the tefillin. Maybe that's why we put on the left arm, because the lev is on the left side. So my son mentioned yesterday, in Ravai Tzvi Frimer, in the Kashuk Lover, in his tshuvas, he has a shaila about a child that was born with his heart on the on the right side. And someone came over to me yesterday and told me that they have a relative who had that as well, that the heart is on the right side, and that they asked that shaila as well. It's not really much of a shaila. We don't pass in that way. I mean, certainly you would put on the left hand, even if the heart is on the right side. Dr. Grishko, you've seen this? This happens a lot. Yeah?
Not a lot.
Not a lot. Okay. Rav Chiya b'Reid Rav Avya. So Rav Chiya b'Reid Rav Avya wouldn't put the tefillin directly. Mechavin manach lehade libe. He would tilt it in. He wouldn't put it straight up on the arm. He would tilt it a little bit toward the heart because of this emphasis of tefillin being k'neged the lev. Rav Ashi aviyasim kameda meimer. Rav Ashi was sitting in front of a meimer. Havatziria biyade v'kamas chazion tefillin. He had some sort of wound on his arm, and he tore his shirt around the wound so that the shirt shouldn't injure him further, and the tefillin were visible from in between the tear. So Amr Leis, Rav Ashi said to Meimer, Lo Sar Lamar L'Chalos L'Chayim Los. How can you expose your tefillin to the world? Don't you hold the tefillin Shal Yad should be L'Chalos and not L'Chayim Los? Amr Leis, B'makom L'Chalos Itmar. No, it's saying that it should be in a place where it's L'Chalos and L'Chayim Los. But it's not that it actually has to physically be hidden. It doesn't have to be Mechusa in reality. Okay, now the Gemara explains the din of the Makom tefillin, Makom Gova Shabrosh. We said in the Brisa it should be on the height of the head. Minolan. Titan Rabban, we have a Brisa. Pasuk says, Beinecha. So, Gova Shabrosh. Beinecha means not literally between your eyes. It means the Gova Shabrosh, the height of the head. Ata Omer, Gova Shabrosh. Oenevela, Beinecha Mamish. Is it the height of the head, or maybe it means literally between the eyes, like the Karaites, that they wear the tefillin Mamish, right between the eyes. So, Nemar Khan, Beinecha, Nemar Lalan, Losasimu Kar. It says over here, Bein Einecha, and it says in the pasuk that you're not allowed to make a bald spot, Bein Einechem, as a sign of mourning over someone who died. So, Malalan, the Gova Shabarosh, just like Bein Einechem by the Karcha is Gova Shabarosh, so Makom Sha'osa Karcha, because obviously there's nowhere to make a bald spot, Bein Einecha Mamish, it obviously has to be where hair grows. So, Afkan, the Gova Shabarosh, Shalrosh. So, over here, it's also the Gova Shabarosh, it's the of that where hair grows in one's younger years at least. Makom Sha'osa Karcha, a place where one can make a bald spot. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, this limud of Bein Einechem eino tzarech. Amra Torah, hanach tefillin v'yad, hanach tefillin brosh. Torah tells me to put on tefillin shel yad and put on tefillin shel rosh. So mala halon, just like the tefillin shel yad is b'makom aroi litame b'nega echad, it's a place that as far as negoim is concerned is one place, that you can't be makabal tumah mitzad nigei or mitzad anything but nigei or. There are different halachos for a nega that's on a part of the body that grows hair and a nega that's on a part of the body that does not grow clusters of hair. So it's just like the tefillin shel yad is on a place that can only get one kind of nega. So afkan, so by tefillin shel rosh also makom roi l'tamei b'nega echad. It has to be a place that can only get one kind of nega. It can only get nigei rosh v'zaka on the type of the head, on the top of the head, lafuke ben enecha, as opposed to ben enecha mamish, where diika basar viseyar diika seyar lavan viikanami seyar tzahov. It's a place of both basar and a place of seyar, so there it's eligible for two separate types of negaim. For negaim of seyar lavan, which is nigei or basar, that's the nega that you would have on or, and it's also subject to the nega of Seir Tzav, which is the nige Rosh V'Zakan, and therefore that's not the proper place for tefillin. Now we transition into tzitzis. Arba tzitzios ma'akvos zu azu. Sha'arbatan mitzvah achas. All four corners, four tzitzios, is one mitzvah. My benai, what's the difference between the Chum and Rabbi Shmuel? Rabbi Shmuel was also moda that Yinala b'misatef in the talis that's missing tzitzis from one of the corners. Rav Yosef, sadin b'tzitzis igibinayu. What if you have a beged shel pishtan that you're putting tcheles on, that are made, tcheles has to be made out of wool. Tcheles doesn't take to anything else. The dye only takes to wool, so it has to be out of wool. So what if you have a beged that's made out of pishtan and you have a tcheles that's made out of wool? So that's the that's where the two shitos are going to differ. If you should be matil beged pishtan, if you should be matil tzitzios of tzemer, and you leave one knaf without tzitzis, according to the Chum, it's an isser of shatness to wear such a beged. According to Rabbi Shmuel, there's no isser of shatness to wear such a beged. So that's one nafkamina. Rava barahina amar, talis balas chamesh ikabinayu. Nafkamina might be, what if you have a talis that has five corners? If it has five corners, it's chayv and tzitzis. According to the Chacham, the four tzitzios are all one mitzvah, so you should still only put on four tzitzios on four of the corners, because the tzuris of a mitzvah is to put find a beged that's chayv and tzitzis and put on four corners. But according to Rabbi Shmuel, that each tzitzis is a mitzvah b'fnei atzma, so the mitzvah is defined as putting on each corner, and if there are more than four corners, you put on each of those corners. So it's not about four. There's no magic number four. It's just that four is the minimum number of corners for a beged that's chayv and tzitzis. Ravina amar drafuna ikabinayu, that the din that Rafuna says is really a nafkamina between these two shitas of the Chum and Rabbi Shmuel. Dam Rafuna hayotze betal shein mitziyatis kilchas b'shabbes chayv chatas. If someone goes out from Rosh Yachid to Rosh Rabim wearing a talis that doesn't have tzitzis on properly on Shabbos, is chayv chatas because he violated otzah mirushos rushos. Because since the talis is not mitziyatis kilchas, there's no mitzvah that in that tzitzis, and memela the tzitzis are very expensive, so they're not batel to the beged. They're not considered part of the beged. They're apart from the beged. So it's a masa. He's carrying those strings from Rosh Yachid into the Rosh Ram. So that's the difference between the Chum and Rabbi Shmuel, that according to the Chum, that four tzitzios are ma'ak v'zuzu, and there's no mitzvah whatsoever in wearing some of the corners with tzitzis and not others. So then if you have some of the corners with tzitzis and not others, it's a tal sheinu mitziyatzis kilchsa, and you'd be chayiv for being motzi mirishus l'rishus. But according to Rabbi Shmuel, since each corner that has tzitzis is its own mitzvah, so it's not carrying because it is part of the mitzvah, and therefore part of the mitzvah is considered the noy ha-beged, it's considered a chelik of the beged, and it's not called that you're carrying from one rishus to the other. Amar of Shisha Brei Ravidi, Hayman debatshi l'glime, someone who cuts off a piece of his talus on the on one of the corners, and it therefore becomes two corners. Lo v'lokum hasn't done anything to change the din of the talus. Shavi talus balas chamesh, because now it has five corners on it. But guess what? If it's got five corners on it, we're going to see in about a week from now, that's chayiv in tzitzis too. Five corners doesn't help you with the mitzvah of tzitzis. So Amram Sharshia, Haiman de Tsari Leglime, if a person ties up in a rounding way the corner of his garment so that it shouldn't be a corner, law of the lokum also hasn't done it. Meaning, even if he hems it a little bit, he hasn't done anything. My taima, what's the reason that talus is not considered talus shein ba'arba kanfos? If it doesn't look like it has four kanfos, to command the sharia dummy, because we view it as if as if it's untied. Because ultimately, if all you did was you tied it up in a way where now the corner is folded over and tied in a way where it's rounded, yeah, but that's obviously temporary. You didn't cut it off. You didn't cut to round off the corner, you just tied it in a way to round it off, so it's obviously temporary, obviously it's going to go back to being a beged of Dalai Kanfil. So it's not a Nami, and we also have Mishnah Maseches Kelim, kol chamasos hatsruros, chamasos, leather jugs that don't have that the base kibble is made by stitching by tying rather than stitching tahoros. They're tahor because that's not considered a real base kibble if it's made by tying, because we assume that anything that's tied is going to become untied. It's only with stitching that we assume it becomes an actual kli, chutz mishal arviyim, except for the ones of arviyim, because they would use these nodos, jugs, even when they're tied, and they would never untie them. Meaning, it was meant to be left that way permanently by the arviyim. So then it becomes a kli. Amrav Dimin Adah, If someone folds over the corner of his talus and doesn't just fold it over, but actually hems it, he actually sews it together, still lo avad v'lo klum. He still hasn't done anything to change the status of the corners of his beged. Because if he really didn't want it, then he should have actually cut it. The fact that he hemmed it rather than cut it off, right? When you have a kid or something and you hem his suit, it's because you think he might grow and you might want to take it down. Otherwise, you could just for an adult, there's no need to do that. You just cut the extra fabric. The adult's not growing anymore. So that's the indication that if you're hemming something, it's because you're thinking that you might undo it at some point. Rabbi Shmuel Omer Arbat and Arba Mitzvos. Rabbi Shmuel says that the four tzitzios are four separate mitzvos. Am Rabbi Yudomer Shmuel Halacha Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Yudomer Shmuel says, yeah, we paskin that like Rabbi Shmuel that each one is its own separate mitzvah. But the halacha is not like Shmuel, that the halacha is like Rabbi Shmuel. Rather, the halacha is like the Chachamim. Ravina v'ka'azil abasrei demar. Ravina was demar baravashi b'shabbat derigla. Ravina was following mar baravashi on the Shabbos that they darshin in the halachos of the regel. This is not such a common practice anymore. The only remnant of the practice, I guess, is Shabbos Shuvah and Shabbos Hagadol, where we darshin about the upcoming yantiv. So there's a daf yomi coincidence for the night. So if sikarna duchute, and he was following the corner of Mar Bravashi's talus got cut off with the tzitzis that were on it, and it became possible to use for a talus. V'lo amarle v'lo midi, and Mar Bravashi didn't say anything to Mar Bravashi. Kad matalabese, when they got to Mar Bravashi's house, amarle Ravina said, mehasam ifsik, you should know that your garment tore all the way back there. The tzitzis tore off one of your corners all the way back there. So amarle Mar Bravashi said to Ravina, if you would have told me from there at that time, I would have taken it off, because as soon as the tzitzis get cut off, it's a violation of carrying Birshus Harabim and Chayiv Chatos. I can't be in violation of Anissa Daraisa. Had you told me then, I would have taken it off. So the Gemara asks the Marbar Avashi, why do you say that if he would have known, he would have taken off from Birshus Harabim? Don't we know that Kavar Abriyas Hazdoch Halos Seshabatorah? He's going to take off his garment? That's going to be a chisar and Kavar Abriyas. Going to be walking around not properly dressed in Rosh Hashanah. So Tirgum Rav Bar Shiva Kameid Rav Kahana Belav De Lo Sasser. It's a little bit of a misleading statement when we say Gadol Kavod Abriyah Shdochas Lo Sasei Shabbat Torah. You know which Lo Sasei Shabbat Torah is Docha? Only one Lo Sasser, which means that it's really only Docha De Rabbanon. But if there's actually going to be a violation of a Daraisa, right? That's the context of the Gemara in Brachos, the Sugi in Brachos. If you see someone wearing Shatnis da'oraisa bashuk, right? Then someone recognizes them themselves. Let's say, make it easier. Shatnis da'oraisa bashuk. Then they have to remove it, even though it's going to be a chisaron kavod abrios. V'ikada amri mehasam amalei. Some say that he told them already when it got cut off. And amalei my daytech. And he said, why are you telling me that the tzitzis got cut off? L'mishtiye, you think I should take off my beged right now? V'amar gadol kavod abrios doch eslos seisha b'torah. I don't have to take off my beged right now. How is that a defense? Doesn't he know that that's only about the love of Lo Sasser? Doesn't he know that that's only about Yisurim Drabanan, and this is Nisadar Raisa that of carrying in Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos? Says Gemara, Hachanami Carmelist Drabanan. He got the story wrong. The story was that it was in the Carmelist Drabanan. So since he was only violating a Drabanan, he felt that the Kavod Abrios was enough reason to leave the Begadon. Okay? Adron Alecha Komets, Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll begin Perek HaTchelas.